How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, Chris, mate. Just glad to be sitting here drinking a pint with you, now relaxing. That's the way it goes. And a mixed grill on its way. And I'm just going to touch on your military career, mate. When did you join and who did you join?
I joined the army in 2001, King's Royal Hussars. My first day in the army was the day before 9/11.
Wow.
And it, you know, not to sound too corny, but it was then I had to get to Afghan one day. Went to Northern Ireland first, did 6 months there, and then went and played around Iraq for 5 months, and then Afghan, where I lasted 3 weeks.
Hoorah! Wow. Can you touch a bit on the incident and where you was in Afghanistan? Obviously,
yeah. To be honest, it was a bit of a lame one. We had a few incidents that were much more lively the days before, but on that morning it was a normal, you know, wake up morning, did a bit of exercise, waiting for something to kick off, but it didn't early. Ended up waiting for a heli to arrive with some mail and any food supplies. The helicopter landed. We got all our letters and stuff. We was passing all the mail out. I got a letter, went into the tent. One of my other lads lugged Martin. He still hadn't arrived, received mail for the 3 weeks. So I gave him one of my letters and said, "Claire can be your wife." And we were having a laugh about that. And that last thing I remember. And what happened next was we were chatting. Some rat fired an RPG Billy Drinkwater, I think, says it was a Chinese rocket. Because he was there as well. We didn't know each other at the time, though.
Are you both in the same FOB?
Yeah.
Which FOB was it?
Inkerman. Yeah, we didn't know each other at the time. The rocket hit the wall behind me, fractured my skull, and lost my memory.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah, that's it. Now I'm here with you beautiful people.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so that was... What year was that? You was it?
2007.
So you was it? You ended up in Salyut?
I did. I went there first for a week, I believe.
I suppose it was more Nuoro rather than...
Yeah, then I ended up in Queen Elizabeth for the rest of the time. It was Selly Oak where I think they opened my head and took all the rubbish out, left my half of my head open for the year. I was in Queen Elizabeth for the following weeks, after 3 weeks after that, which was pretty awkward.
Yeah, that was
memory was so ridiculous, forgetting every day, didn't really know where I was.
Very frustrating?
Not really, I didn't have a clue what was going on.
Oh.
You know, if you literally imagine you don't even know who you are, and you can't really get frustrated because you don't know what's going on.
Well, I think you're amazing for what you've done in the, 8 years, is it, since you've been in?
Yeah, it's 8 years now. Yeah. It was September last month, yeah, it was 28th of September it happened.
Yeah. I think you're an inspiration, I really do, mate.
Thanks.
And, you know, you've got a beautiful wife, and then you've got three beautiful kiddies, mate, you're doing all right, you're in a nice little township here. No, you're doing alright, mate. You know, I mean, you with your photography and all that.
I'm happy. I want a fairly quiet life.
Oh, definitely, mate. We all want that.
I can't be bothered with
the hustle and bustle.
I don't know how you live in London.
I don't live in London, mate.
No.
I come out of London as soon as I was injured.
I think I was walking with
Martin.
Colin.
Oh, Colin Williams.
And he said, I think Paul lives around here somewhere. We probably walked past you. We were going to pop in, but we didn't know which one it was.
Oh, you should have done. Yeah. My door's always
on. Knocking on the doors, though, can't we?
Nah, just
do you know Paul? Never heard of him.
Nah, if you say Blind Ginge, they go, oh, yeah, that one.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, that one.
I don't know where he is. I can hear him, though. Like, people, I don't remember anything from Africa, the last, you know, event happening, so I don't get upset or anything. I've no...
Real Rick.
Yeah, but then again, saying that, when it was rubbish that I had half a head for a year. And I kept I've never had any like major psychological issues. I'm lucky, but I kept getting this one thing. I used to call it my moments, and where my right arm, because I had a claw for a bit, And once it had calmed down, this side of my body's always been a bit funny.
Well, what's up with your arm?
Because of the brain, because it hit me on the left.
Yeah.
I was paralysed on my left, right hand side of my body.
Okay.
Only for a few weeks.
Okay.
And then it's not happened in years now. Probably like 2 years. But I used to have this thing where I'd be walking, and I used to get this wave of heat. And I'd have to say to Claire, oh, I need to sit down, I'm having a moment. And she'd know what it was. She'd be like, right, that's fine, yeah, just sit down for the rest of the day. My speech was stupid. I was just weird, saying silly things, didn't know what was going on, and I had to just chill out, and the next day I was fine. So, yeah, I used to have that. Worst thing for me, this, I used to call it my moment, so... I don't know what it was, but I ain't had one in over 2 years now.
That's good. Yeah, touch wood. Yeah.
It's just like, I think it was just like brain signals and stuff not getting through properly. You know, the brain's amazing.
Oh, it is. The human body in recovery is amazing as well. So when you was lying in your, I suppose it was a bit hard for you. See, when I was lying in my hospital bed, my thing for me, I'm blind now. This is who I am. I've got to overcome that, however long that takes. But then, what am I going to do with myself? And my objection was, right, okay, within the year, I want to climb Kilimanjaro. And I made that my objective.
You did it, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, what was your bedside, or bed, or if you had your deathbed,
yeah,
wounded bed?
There were nothing in hospital.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. It did happen later on. When I remember someone from Blind Veterans, when it was St. Dunstan's then, coming to the house. It was Julie Shields and someone else, and they said, like, Blind Veterans, St. Dunstan's want to come and have you. Fine, brilliant. And I ended up in the Sheffield Centre a few times. And I remember talking to Dave Hickey, who used to be the IT guy there. He's not there anymore.
Right.
And he said, like, how are you? And I used to open up to him quite a lot, because he'd ask me, he'd sit down and talk to me. And I said, you know, I'm just struggling with...
everything.
With like friends and that, and you know, I don't know anyone, and everyone I knew was at Tidworth. I don't know anyone in Sheffield. I live in Drumfield, in Sheffield now. I'm just, you know, I'm struggling because I'm getting bored and I'm getting fed up like that. So, and it's him who gave me the camera. He says, oh yeah, well, I'm into photography, here's a camera, take it home, play around with that, see how you think about it. And that helped me a lot. It gave me so much focus, gave me something to do. Like, they were shocking, the photos at the beginning, really bad, but it was good that, like, the simple thing of taking a photo was hard work. I didn't understand, and my brain couldn't work out how's it getting from there into the computer, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It sorted me out, gave me something to do.
But then I suppose there's a lot of people, you ask me how a blinking photo gets into a computer, I couldn't tell you, there's just a lead. That's all I know. I don't know. It's just like, you take a picture, it's done, mate.
Wi-Fi can do it these days.
I think it's
amazing.
I just can't comprehend. My brain can't work like yours, mate. You must be a lot smarter than me. That bang on the head done your world a good, mate, I think, as well as a bad.
Well, it did.
Oh, yeah, well... So, yeah, what is it you want to achieve now that you're sort of like, you've moved away from where you was in Sheffield and you now settled down in your bungalow with your kids and your wife, and you, I suppose in a way you got your head straight.
Yeah, there's a few corny achievements I want. You know, like there's a famous photographer called Stephen McCurry.
Okay.
You might not know the name, but you know the photo, the little Afghan girl. You must have seen that photo. There's a photo that he took in Afghan in 20 years ago. He took a photo of this little girl in Afghan, and it's her eyes are so green, and her face, she looks just evil. She like, she don't want him being there, sort of thing.
Okay.
It was during the trouble with Russia and that.
Oh,
walking around, saw this little girl, she got the scarf around and that, and she like looked around at him, she gives him this horrible evil look, captured it perfectly, and that's his most famous photo. He's like, no one knows who he is as such, but he's proud of that photo. And last year he found her again, he tracked her down and took another photo of her 20 years later. But it's a good achievement if he did it, and he's known for that photo. Now, I don't want anything kind of, I don't want to be famous as such, but I'd like to be known for a photo, if you know what I mean.
That's understandable, yeah.
But I'd like to be known, when I die, I want to be known for a photo, maybe. I'll be fine. That'll do me. That's quite an alright one.
Yes. Everyone's got dreams and ambitions, mate. And
yeah.
You've got to live up to that.
Yeah. I don't want to be known because I bumped into someone and I'm known because I took a photo of like the Queen or whatever. You know, that's not going to happen. But it's just an example. I want to be known for a photo I took up a mountain or something. You know, something that took quite hard work. You know, like that Kilimanjaro thing is amazing. That's definitely somewhere I want to go one day. And I'd love to go up there taking some photos of you up there or something.
Because you was there and I was there at the Camp Bastion War Memorial with Billy and Coops.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a couple of the other lads couldn't make it. How was that for you?
I felt a bit like maybe this you were going to laugh at this maybe.
Spare part.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that sort of thing.
I knew you was going to say that.
Yeah. Well. What's his name? Laughed at me when I said it. Colin. She's like, "What do you mean?" I go, "Well, I didn't. I just woke up. I was only in Afghan for 3 weeks. Admittedly, like my injury to civvies, it sounds bad, but it was nothing. You know, the days before when I got I got 4 mine strikes in 3 weeks. You know that. You know that's other things. RPGs were bouncing off the mastiffs and stuff. You know that's much worse. The injury itself was just weak." It was nothing. Well, I'm not weak. It was just a rubbish thing,
yeah.
A rubbish event. So I'm sat there, and Coops is like, he's sat there in his chair, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we lost a guy here and all this, and,
yeah.
And yourself, and we didn't lose anyone in Afghan. At the time, we were the only regiment to bring everyone back alive. It was just literally, I've lost an eye, in the reflection of it, I've lost an eye." Logs Martin lost a leg, a finger, and OD, the other lad, lost both of his legs. That's all we had missing that day. You know, it's just one bad thing. That nothing else happened then for our tour. It was really quiet and just not boring, just peaceful. So yeah, I did feel a bit. I didn't say all, and I think maybe people thought it was affecting me. Psychology, it weren't. I just maybe felt like a bit. Well, don't really feel like.
I felt you was a bit off key.
Yeah. Well, you can tell. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know what to say. Yeah. It weren't because I was sad. It was a bit like. Well, I don't think I should be here.
Yeah. No. You know what I mean? You paid your dues, mate. You was there. It don't matter.
Maybe.
So, but we all have our own opinions and how we feel about the situation. You know, I still don't believe I should be here at all. You know what I mean? How is it that with the injuries
that sustained?
Yeah, that's the word. Thanks. You know, two blokes were killed outright, and you know, with the injuries, the shrapnel smashed me in the brain, and all the blood I lost, and all that, and blood fusions. I just don't understand how I'm here.
Stubbornness. That's what Claire says about me, though. I don't know her name. Claire's mentioned it before. There was a blonde-haired woman. She's famous. She was famously known, and she was skiing the same same sort of time that we was in Afghan, and she fell off a bit of ice. She was skiing downhill, and she fell over a little bit, and she died. I'll have to find out her name. She died from a tiny, tiny bang to the head, and then I've been whacked with this shrapnel, and it's literally. You know, there was
taking
people.
Off
yeah, there were people in the hospital saying, "We don't know how you're here," and I said, "Then it's probably just stubbornness. You know, nothing special." She took a tiny, tiny bang to the head. It was nothing. You know, I could do it to you now. Something really simple, but it's just how it hit her, and she just died. And I've survived this stupid rocket, not to my head, like, but
yeah.
Near me, and I'm fine now. You know, I'm all right. Just look at the draw, isn't it?
It sure is.
FA Cup. Some people get Arsenal, some people get Accrington Stanley.
Or some people just get Margate FC. Who are they?
Because you know what you were saying about your quiet tour, but you said about your brother. So it wasn't that quiet, was it?
Yeah, but we weren't together. He was in a different FOB. He was in, is it Lashkargar? I can't remember what it was, but he were that was a bit of a rough night, obviously. But I was sat on a mastiff on Stag, smoking a a cheap version of Lambert and Butler from some local guy called Bob. But you know, I was about a mile away, and I watched it. I watched this camp get hit because there was a mountain was behind us, and someone fired them. It was another Chinese rocket come over us. They didn't know where we were and hit that fob several times. And it was only two or three days later that we even knew what had happened. And we find it because we got a mine strike 2 days later. We lost our front two wheels, and we had to get towed back. And someone from that fob, KRH, had to come and tow us away. And then I said to them, like, how is everyone? And, so, and they all said, oh, we're fine, no one got hurt. It just looked worse. No one got affected at all.
You couldn't get anything through the radio?
No. Everything went down. That's why I was panicking, because someone had died. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was it like when you bought cigarettes? I'm not interrupting, I just wondered for me, because obviously a civilian, like buying cigarettes from...
Do you know what the funniest thing? Take Afghanistan, there was a time, my first patrol in Iraq were funnier. We went from Basra airport, drove through the in a GS Land Rover for about 2 or 3 miles, and then it was then that Neil Marsh, the sergeant, was like, "Oh, look, we can buy cigarettes here," and it was just this terrible shed. There's one guy in a shed, and he'd made this like cardboard door out of this.
$10.
And he was sat there. He had loads of cigarettes, and I was like, "Oh, how much were cigarettes?" And one pack of cigarettes was like $2. And I ended up giving him $10, and he was like, "Oh no, it's too much. I said, "No, honestly, I'm robbing you here." So he ended up giving me more. He gave me like 200, like fake Lambert for $10 or so, and it was that was really funny. There was like no one for miles. It was just flat desert. There's one guy selling fake Lambert. that was really funny that night.
I do remember the. I'll tell you what was a nice image that always stays in my head more than any other. We'd done a patrol out of Kajaki, and we got to the outborders where it goes onto the desert.
Yeah.
And we took a knee, and we were all like having a fag. It's obviously mid morning, so there's no point trying to hide because the enemy can see you, can't they? And then the next thing, we felt all this rumbling in the floor, and these tanks come past, and it was absolutely beautiful. A proper convoy come past with the Union flag all fluttering. And I'll tell you what, when you haven't seen anyone for weeks and weeks, and I felt, even then, I can tell you what I thought. I was thinking, wow, I could be sitting on the spot where soldiers...
Safety, isn't it?
No, I didn't think about safety or anything like that. I was thinking, you know what, I could be standing here, and, you know, 80 years ago, the chaps were during the Second World War thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And how the blokes during the Second World War, when they see a convoy come by, how happy they were. It was crazy. I still remember that now. There was a convoy of about 20 vehicles, and everyone was waving at everyone, and like, it was lovely. It's still hot, it's still a lovely thought. And if you'd have caught that on camera,
war journalism is, well, I'd love to do that. I would love to.
I hope you achieve all your ambitions and goals in life, mate. Yeah, you think it, try and do it, mate. There's people out there that'll help you.
As a civilian, and obviously I'll never go to Afghanistan.
You can if you want.
No.
It's not stopping you.
Yeah, I'll go off on the ticket if you want.
You know, like when you land.
Yeah.
What's that like? We're landing.
Loud and hot.
The heat hits you. Usually land at night. You always land at night for security. Yeah. Everything's blacked out. Helmets, body armour on. And the plane just drops out of the sky. Big Hercules, you know how big they are? They're like bloody 100 tons or more. They just literally come from 15 feet of it, and they're literally straight on the deck. And everything's pitch black.
Yeah.
All lights are turned off, helmet and body armour's on. And everybody's given the situation that if you go down and you're under contact, everybody's off the back of ASAS. Go. I don't think you're stacked up with rifles at that point, are you? Not from Britain.
No, I don't think we did.
No. So it's just 400 people, and then you're going past everything on the back as well, so you've got all the cargo. We had a Chinook on the back of ours as well as 400 chaps. Yeah.
It's just, the only thing, it's the noise of the engine still.
They're loud.
Yeah, because you can't hear anything, and it's the heat hits you.
Just...
And you can't see anything because it's, like I said, it's pitch black. But it's them two things, and the smell, Iraq especially. Yeah, the Afghan's not as smelly. I don't think it was. I think because it's so rural.
It's more open, wasn't it? Bastion is an open, open to the element.
Yeah, Afghans. I actually don't think Afghans are a bad country. You know, if they weren't the bad guys there, it'd be a nice place to, you know, for backpackers and photographers and that, because there's some amazing mountains in Afghan, really.
And you've got all the stars as well.
Night time. Stunning, yeah.
That is. And I'll tell you what is stunning as well, is the firefights at night time. Because you get the different tracers, Catherine, and the tracer is supposed to be every third round or every other round is a tracer round, depending on what you're firing and where you're firing it and etc. Lights up, and so we use green tracers, don't we? Is it green?
Green or red.
And the old tally were using red ones, weren't they?
Yeah.
And at night time there's these firefights and you've got the stars glittering, pitch black, and then you just get ding 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 and all these lightsabers, they just glow. And it's brilliant to watch. It captures
the stars. The stars are stunning in Africa. They are, because it's so hot all the time. There's no clouds. It's just
beams,
just
don't
pure,
they?
And you can see everything.
It's pretty. Because I don't know, like you, Chris, when you lay on your on the bunk outside of an evening, smoking a fag or whatever, or having a cup of tea when you've done a long stag or whatever, and you just look up and it just captures you, doesn't it?
It is nice.
It's just so pretty.
We had a nice moment. We were making our way from Bastion up north on the Mastiffs and that, and on the first night we just stayed in the Mastiffs and just made a harbour routine and stayed in the desert. And I remember waking up one morning. That morning, I saw the stars that night. And the morning, I went and obviously you can't go walking far because of mines and stuff. And I was talking to one of EOD guys, and it was his last week in Afghan, in the army. Literally his last week. Once we got to Inkerman, someone was going to pick him up and they were going to take him. That was it. He was out of the army. He's run 22 years. EOD guy, EOD chap, mine specialist, and he was really worried. He was like, you know, if I die this week, I think you're going to know about it, sort of thing. And we were sat there, me and him, we were chatting. I was like, oh no, you'll be all right. I was talking to him, and there's no desert rat.
Yeah,
there's a little desert rat coming on. He weren't bothered about us at all. Me and Claire spoke about this, and I don't necessarily believe in fate and such, but I'll explain. So this little desert rat's bouncing around, and he's right in front of us, and he's like, oh, this is nice, isn't it? We're both watching this desert rat, and he goes, watch this desert rat, and this is the sign that I am going to die, this is it. And I says, oh, no, you'll be all right, you'll be all right, this desert rat won't go in anywhere, it's just bouncing around. And he ended up trying to kick this rat, and this rat won't have none of it, it kept avoiding him, and he goes, right. And I said, well, I think you should take it as a sign that you're not going to die, because you can't hit the rat, if you hit the rat, you die. He goes, I'll try one more time. He tries it, says, right, he didn't hit it, and the rat goes off. And he went, oh, maybe I'm not. So anyway, get back in the Mastiffs, go on this drive, and that's when we had our first minor strike. Honestly, you can't write it. 20 minutes later. 20 minutes later.
Poor fella.
He's sat on the back of my Mastiff, and I'm on top with the 50 cal. And I'm like, right, go on, we're going to this one. And then he started laughing. He goes, oh, you know, but I've got to go and sort this out now. Him and this other, he had a new guy. It was his first tour.
Oh, proper crow, yeah.
Yeah, and it was him, last guy, and he was teaching him. So he's like, right, go on then. So they get an apple, and they're like, beep, beep, with mine. With the
boom.
There wasn't metal detectors. We just lost our one of our wheels. Said then. He goes, oh, I've just survived then because I didn't kick that hit that
Oh, don't.
That's the funniest thing is with the stars and that.
Coming back to blind veterans and like you two now, is that just what it's like in the army?
Yeah. The army is like Chris said, you know, when you're in a FOB, you're not necessarily just with, I don't know, say, the rifles or the guards or tankies, you know, it's a mixture, you know what I mean? You'll have Remy there because they need to be fixing stuff for the blokes. So you'll have engineers, they'll be putting up fobs or shutting down fobs. You'll have the infantry doing the patrols on foot. You'll have the tankies out. You'll have the logistics, you know, who are out, you know, convoying. And then you'll have to have the security for the convoys with people like Chris and the tankies and Mastiffs. So everyone works as a collective. Even though we're separate in our units, we are a collective. See, we need to sort of, you know, rely on each other. It's like when I told you about when we was in the middle of the desert in that patrol mob telling Templeton, and we see all them tankies and the logistics, just because it had the Union flag, it was all waving like crazy. you know. Yeah. And it was just they were about half a mile away, you know, but we could see them and they could see us. Horns were tooting and all that. And it was just, it was a real surreal moment. It was brilliant.
Mm.
Even the sergeant was waving. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was a nice moment.
Yeah,
nice moment that I can remember in history. And it's, no, it was nice. You had the mountains in one corner over in the left, and then you had the desert dunes, and behind you was Jib for Gibraltar, and it was just there. It was just a perfect. It's like the memory outside. Was it Inkerman where you got all the Russian tanks?
Yeah.
You know, I think that was quite a moment the first time I see all them tanks, you know, because it just made me think, because I'm like really into history, and I just think, bloody hell, what them Russians were doing here.
Yeah.
And how much of a hard time did they have? Now that's what it made me think, and it was quite eerie, because there was what, about 10 tanks just laying there.
There's a few in there
outside this fob where he was it.
Yeah.
There's that, just outside the gates. There's 10 tanks all lined up, and they're just empty, just there. But you can still see the red star, Russian star, and they're just there. They've been obviously totally not vandalised the way you'd think with spray paint, but
there's nothing inside it, though, is there?
No. But no, it's like you say, it's a good country. There's good food there.
The scenery is stunning. It's, the mountains in there are amazing.
It's like when you're in the Chinook and you leave Bastion going to your fob, which can take like an hour and a half, sometimes two, depending on where you are. And it's just weird. You're looking down at this country and it's all desert, and then there's greenery, and then it's weird. It's like little oases, and it's weird.
Is it exciting in the Chinook?
Not when you've got an RPG banging outside.
Yeah.
And a bit of small arms.
But do you feel like the same bond?
To not sound too corny, but this is quite nice for me, and I'm not going to say blind veterans have saved my life. It's helped a lot. There's endless amounts of help that they've found me, and it helped me, and it's without them I would be a different person. But it's the conversations like this.
Mm.
That I miss. I miss just
the general banter. Chris Noel, thank you very much for your time and inviting me up here today. Yeah, the mixed grill was spot on. You've got a lovely local bar here. We're sitting here and there's a couple of dogs running around. One of them tried nicking my banger. I had to fight him off. So yeah, Chris, now thank you very much. Yeah, on behalf of Blind Veterans, thank you very much for what you did in Afghan.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
No, thank you, mate. Thank you very much.